to be in John chapter 3, chapter 13, John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Father, as we stand before you with our Bibles open and in our hands, we ask you to teach us and to show us your desire for us today and for every day that you give us. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. It's interesting that I picked this topic to talk about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I didn't realize that it would be the day after Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is all about love. Supposedly, husbands and give flowers to their wives, and I don't know what all happens. When I was back in school, in middle school and elementary school, we passed out little Valentines that said, "Be my Valentine." I don't know if they still do that today. It's a big event in the United States, and apparently in a lot of other countries also, Valentine. We got a call from a friend of ours in Mexico last night who called to wish us happy Valentine. I don't celebrate it as much as I thought I should, because 3 years ago I got some flowers for Carol, one of the first times. A bouquet of roses, and they were $72, but they were special. And when I got them, they looked like this. And when I brought them home, they turned like this. They never, the buds never opened. And she suggested that I not waste my money on flowers anymore. So men, if you want to stop that, just get some flowers that are going to fade the next day. The title of the message this morning is How Can Others Know That You Are a Christian? Last week we talked about how can you know? And Scripture says that you can know, and there are several tests in which you can know. I hope you passed those tests. If you didn't, then I suggest that you look within your heart and you get on your knees before the Lord and ask for some help in that area. If somebody were to tell me that he was a Christian, I would probably look for additional evidence. It's hard to get sometimes. You know, all you need to do is go to the people for whom he works, or the people who work under him, or you can ask his wife or husband or children, and sometimes even person's enemies. And you'll get a lot of additional evidence as to whether a person is a Christian or not. So how can others know if you are a Christian? From time to time, when Carol and I are together in a restaurant or at Costco or at some event, she will see me walk over to a person who is an absolute, total stranger to me. I've never seen that person before in my life. And I'll go over there and I'll be talking to that person, and I'll come back and Carol say, "Well, who was that?" And I will say, "Well, I recognize he had an Aggie ring on." And Aggies have a tradition that goes back from the first days of when you see another Aggie, you go over and shake hands and introduce yourself to that person. And I've done that so many times that she doesn't even ask anymore. But that is a badge. Wouldn't it be great if Christians had a badge so that you could be in a crowd with them and not know of them and say, "Oh, there's a Christian. I can tell. Just look. You can tell that that's a Christian." And you would go over to that person and say, "Hi, I'm a Christian too. Good to meet you. When did you get saved? When did you become a Christian?" Well, you know what? As a matter of fact, all Christians have badges. Jesus gave us all a badge. There was a Sunday school teacher who asked his class, "Now boys, why do people say that I'm a Christian?" And one little boy said, because they don't know you. And but the best reason, the very best reason why people should say you're Christian is because they do know you. What a shame that some people cannot know that you're a Christian. If they cannot say that I'm a Christian after they know me, then I better get down on my knees and lift my prayers up to the Lord and ask for help in that area. Well, I look at a verse we're studying today, John 13:35, that says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Well, by what will they know? The 34th verse says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. You could almost say that there are not 10 commandments, but there are 11 commandments, because this one says that a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Does your husband think you're a Christian? Or your wife, does she think you're a Christian? Stop and think for a minute. If you were to ask your brother, is your sister a Christian? I wonder what they would say. I don't know. You know, we all present ourselves, we try to present ourselves in the best way, especially on Sunday morning. We come to present ourselves reverently before the Lord, to fellowship, to try to set sin aside. But yet Monday may be different. I hope it's not, but it usually is. The Old Testament talks about the distinguishing marks that the Israelites had. The things that they ate were special. The things that they wore were different. The things that they said were different from what other peoples said. But we're sort of the same way. The things that we eat. Now, I'm not talking about whether you eat pork or split hooves with cloven, all of that stuff. I'm not talking about that. But I can tell you this, that the things that you read is filling your body and soul and spirit with something. The conversations that we carry on with other people has a major impact on you. And the influence that it puts in your life. All of these things are like food that enter into our character, just as the food you eat influences your growth. The thing that he wears, or the thing that we wear. You know, our clothes are like our habits. When people look at you, they see what you're doing, the habits that you have, the things that you're doing, the things that you're not doing. You can tell me what you're thinking about, and I might be able to look at you and say, oh, you're a Christian, or you're not a Christian. You can tell me your habits, and those will help me define whether you are a Christian or not. In fact, you can say that you're a deacon or an elder or a pastor or anything else, and that doesn't really matter very much to me if your life is not right. And so I look at your life, and often when I'm in a discussion with a person who has become a Christian or they're sharing their testimony, I'll say, well, did your life change? I hope they say yes, and I hope they're willing to tell me how their life changed. If you call yourself a Christian and your life has not changed, then I will question just how strong, if at all, you are a Christian. I can't look at a man's heart and tell. I can't tell by what you're telling me or what you're doing or what you're saying or the things that you're reading or not. I cannot tell that because we have all levels of maturity in the Christian walk. But I would hope that you would say, yes, my life has changed. Christ changed me. The old me is gone. The old creation. I am a new me, a new creation. I have new friends. new things that I do on Sunday morning, new things that I do on Wednesday night or Tuesday night or Tuesday morning or whatever. New things that I read, different programs and movies that I watch and see. My life has changed. It seems like the friends that you used to have, sort of you separate and go, they go their way and you go your way, and never was on purpose, but because you've become a Christian and they're not, there's this barrier that they notice, and I would hope that they would notice it. That would be very important for them to notice it. And so the things that you say are also important. If I were a fly on the wall of your home and listened to your conversation with your wife or your husband or your kids, that would say a whole lot to me about whether you were a Christian or not. It would tell me whether you were truly filled with the Holy Spirit or not. And so remember that as we stand before the world, the things that we say, the things that we do, the things that we think, the things that we speak, either are for or they are against our Savior. There is no in between. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." It's great to know that we've been called to declare the praises of Him, and I'm sure that the time will come, or has come in our lives, where people ought to see Christ in us, and I would hope that they would see, because you've been called to declare praises unto Him. And when these churches are going to, when these pews are going to be filled, when churches are going to be overflowing, when they're going to be going to two services on a Sunday morning, maybe a Sunday or Saturday night, that will happen when people see consistency in your life. The world, the lost world, is very smart. They could look at you and they can judge you, and they will judge you, and they will decide just how fake and false and that you are. I would hope they would look at you and not see you as a hypocrite. And so it begins with the way that we live for Christ. You see, the world must see us as being different from them. It must see us that way. I remember this when Jesus was, there was a man in the tombs that was filled with demons, and when people would come around, he would scare them to death, and he was cutting himself and crying, and when he would come up, well, they would run away. Jesus came one day and broke these bounds that he had. He cast out these demons, and he cast them into pigs. You'll remember, and the pigs ran off the cliff, and the people complained, "Hey, you know, you're killing our hogs." But you know what this man did? He was changed. He went to town, and he told what great things that Jesus had done for him in his life. Now that's change, and there has to be a change in our lives, in our living, in our ways, in our family, if people are going to see that. See us as Christians. There was a church where the pastor asked, said, if you're not a Christian, raise your hand. And this woman kept nudging her husband, "Raise your hand, raise your hand." And the pastor asked again, but he wouldn't raise his hand, even though she nudged him. And on the way home, she said, "Why didn't you raise your hand?" He said, "You know what? I'm not a Christian. You are a Christian, and I could have raised my hand, but, you tell me what's different in our lives. I watch TV, you watch TV. I go dancing, you go dancing. You talk to your friends, I talk to my friends. I don't see any difference, in our living? What's the difference in our lives? And I would hope that people could look at a Christian and say, that person is different. That was the very reason that I became a Christian, because I was watching two men at work whose lives were different. It was a dog-eat-dog world, and I was one of the dogs. And I discovered that they weren't, and that they had a sense of gentleness about them, a sense of meekness about them. They had the power to do what they wanted to, but they didn't use that power. They were different. We were going to a Christian conference one time, and as we were driving down St. Mary's, crossing the San Antonio River, there was a hobo, or bum, or whatever you want to call him, beside the bridge. And in my unchristian walk, I said, look at that guy. Look at that whatever. And my friend said to me, who was driving, I wonder what happened to him in his life. I wonder what went wrong. I thought, what? You know, here I am. What's this guy doing on the street? Get rid of him. You see him in Bernie there at the corner of I-10 and 46 every time you pull off. There's that guy with a, you know, need money. Anything will help. God bless. A lot of people help. A lot of people don't. And so when I see that guy, I say to myself, I wonder what happened to him. Did he lose his job? Did his wife leave him? Did he do something horrible and get convicted and become a felon and he can't get a job? Did he get some disease? What's wrong with him? That's what I was taught by another man. Don't condemn them for what they look like. Think about, remember, they're a creation of God too. God created them. One way that you can look at a Christian or a person and decide if they're a Christian or not is to look at their fruit. We can be fruit inspectors. In Matthew 7, verse 20, Jesus said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Well, what is the fruit of a Christian? What does the Bible say? I know you know these fruits. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 lists these fruits as fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the very Spirit of God. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. Faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Stop a minute and ask yourself, do people see love in me? Do they see joy in me? Do they see a life that's filled with peace? Am I patient? Am I kind? Am I good? Am I faithful? Am I gentle? Do I have self-control? See if you have these things in your life. Take meekness, for example. A man says, I can't be a Christian because I have a really bad temper. Well, that's all the more reason to be a Christian. God can take care of that. You can put it in the hands of the one who holds your life in his hands. Look at gentleness. I know it's easy for people to get upset, especially with, in our own homes. Maybe it's, you know, you're worn out physically or mentally, and there's all kinds of stresses that we face and circumstances in our lives. But if you have a habit of becoming provoked over the smallest thing, then listen. If you continue in that habit of becoming provoked, then you're going to reveal to people around you that you are not a Christian. Look at gentleness. You can walk into a home and you can see and feel and know that there's gentleness in that home, that there's gentleness around that person. Well, people may know that we are Christians by the badge we wear. Is it love? I'm not talking about sentiment, but it's that spirit where we want to lift people up, to help them out of their situations, to add joy to their lives, to have pity for the weak, to try to make the weak strong. That's what I'm talking about. You may not know this, but Larry and Belinda Bookman and Mary at Gaylord have a ministry at the nursing homes in Bandera every Monday morning. But nobody asked them to go. They just go. And you know who they minister to? The weak, those that are dying, those that have had strokes, those that have dementia. And they do it faithfully. Faithfully. I see that for you and for you and for you as an outreach of love from the Lord. You wouldn't do it otherwise. That's what I'm talking about. And so they do it in a very unselfish way, and they're living for others. Are you a Christian or not? You know whether you are or not. Do others think you're a Christian? They know. See, we're called to love our Christian brothers and sisters in the same way that Christ loved us. This is why this is a new command, because the other command says, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, not everybody really loves themselves that much. A lot of people don't have very much esteem for themselves. They're embarrassed to be around other people because they don't feel very good about themselves. So how can they love somebody else? Maybe they can love that person the same way, without much esteem, without really much love. You know how we're called to love our Christian brothers? We're called to love them in the same way that Christ loved us. Did you know that Christ loved us more than he loved himself? Because he was willing to give down his life and die so that you would live. Now, here we are, we're a family of Christians in this room this morning together. You know, would you lay down your life so that someone else in this room could live? That's what love is about. That's what it's about. I'm called to love you, and I know that, and you're called to love me. You may not want to love me. Maybe I don't want to love you. We have partialities. There's those that we seem to be able to love more, those that we love less. Is that okay? Well, you know, Jesus had 12 special people that he picked out. And of that 12 special people, there were three that he seemed to be closer to. And of those three, one leaned on his bosom. Yet he loved them all. And he was willing to die for them all. And in fact, he did die for them all. I don't think that we're called to love our enemies that way, our non-Christians that way, but we are certainly called to love each other that way. Did you know that we have a blood relationship? We are a family that shares the same blood. And in the world, whether your blood passes from you to your son or daughter or whoever, whether you're an in-law or an outlaw, it makes a difference. It makes a real difference. And yet we all have the blood of Christ in us. And so that's why we are brothers and sisters, one with the other. We are also called and become sons of God, children of God. And so we are all the children, and so we are brothers and sisters in that sense. Now, when you die, you're going to spend eternity with your brothers and your sisters as they die. And so you might as well get to know them today and begin to love them today, because we're called to do that. We are called to have this love that goes beyond just friendship or fellowship or sentiment, one for the other. We are called to give our lives one for the other. We are called to love each other in the same way that Jesus loved us, not the way that you love yourself or don't love yourself. We are called to do that. And so we are blood brothers. You know, Christians can be identified if they have a spirit of compassion one for the other. It means that you feel sorry for, you put yourself in another person's place. You walk in the shoes the way that they walk. Every city, I guess in Bandera also, has a dark side where there are homeless people that live and those that they may be alcoholics or druggies or whatever they may be. But you can go to those people into those areas and you can see faces where all the hope of life is gone. You can look at the women and you can see that they've lost their beauty because there is no hope. Do we have compassion for these people? Others can look at us and know that we're Christians by the spirit of forgiveness that we might have. Is it easy for you to forgive? Is it difficult? Oh, I forgave somebody yesterday, in fact. In fact, yesterday I forgave someone. Jesus says 70 times 7. 490 times. He doesn't really mean 490 times, but I can tell you this. If you can forgive someone 490 times, you'll be able to forgive them 491 times and 591 times. You will truly learn to forgive them. People can look at you and know whether you're a Christian or not by the way that you pray. They can tell whether you love them or others. For whom do you pray? For yourself? Yeah. Do you pray for others? Your brothers, sisters in Christ? I would hope so. A lot of us are hurting. A lot of us have trials and circumstances and consequences and hardships in our lives. Many people don't even share them because they're very personal and they're private. It could even be a sin issue in a person's life that is dragging you down, or sickness. Those are the ones we need to be praying for. We need to be praying one for the other. You know, we've had this fellowship meal in here for 8 years, almost. In 3 weeks it will have been 8 years. That's where we come together to sit across the table from each other and talk to each other, to share with each other, to learn from each other who we are, what our needs are, what we're doing, what we're not doing, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing. That's one of the functions of a church fellowship. I'm going to miss the every Sunday meal, but we'll make it work. There are other ways to fellowship. We fellowship in our Bible studies. We fellowship on our Sunday school classes. We come and we stand around. We come early and we leave late, fellowshipping one with the other. Jesus prayed morning and noon and night. And he wasn't praying for himself. One of his last prayers in John was he prayed for those who would become Christians, that they would be united, that we would love each other. I would ask, what badge do you wear? You know, love was to be the big sign. That was down through all the ages that people could see to define the followers of Christ from anyone else. You know, the Pharisees, they wore their little phylacteries, the little boxes with their scriptures in them all over. You could identify a Pharisee anywhere. The Sadducees, they were known for their contempt for the ritual and ostentatious contrast with their rival sects. Scribes and priests wore particular robes. The Romans wore togas with an eagle on their helmet. Could tell whether you were a citizen or a soldier. Today we recognize military personnel by their uniform, whether it's blue or navy or brown or whatever, whether in the Air Force, the Army, or the Coast Guard, the Marines. we recognize people and groups of people by signs that they wear, by the badges. Some by the classes, some by the creeds, some by the professions they are, some by the preferences they have, some by the races. Something distinguishes them from the rest of the world. We recognize football teams by the color of their uniforms and the insignia on their helmets. Anybody can recognize a San Antonio Spur. And so these badges that people wear identifies who they are. In fact, is you can look at a little baby who hasn't become anything, and you can tell whether it's a boy or a girl, whether they're wearing blue or pink. It's just that simple. And so from the time of our birth, we have a badge. And so I say to you, if we wear a token by which we are called to wear, that identifies us as a Christian, that we belong to Christ, then the world will know. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So what badge do you wear? Join me in prayer. Father, we recognize that our biggest problem with people seeing our lives is that they see our lives. And so it's my prayer that you would help us, each one of us, to recognize that we need to reach out and love each other, especially our brothers and sisters, because we share the same hope and faith and God and Lord. We're going to share the same home, and we will live eternally together, one with another. We thank you for your word and how you've opened it up to us in the name of Jesus. Amen.